Fill afresh, Lord, today with your Spirit. Let your Holy Spirit guide us, Father, into your truth, your word. I pray, Father, that we would hear what you would say to each one of us, and that we would be excited, Father, about the days ahead. You've given us, Lord, so many blessings, Lord. Might we pour those back out into the lives of others? And we ask, Father, in the strong name of Jesus, amen. Well, grab your Bibles, please, and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. In verse 10, we read, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Again, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Father, we thank you for your word. Quicken it, Lord, to us today. Help us to hear what the Spirit would say to the church. We ask in Jesus' name. As you read those two verses, you realize really that what Paul is telling us, that it is his might, not ours. That it's the might of our God, not our might. Zechariah would say it a bit differently. He said, "It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord." And much of what has unfolded in the sanctuary today really is a reinforcement to that. The prayers and the music and the sharing. As the Lord is moving in our lives, as he's pointing us to that reality of the importance of depending on his power, not our own. A number of years ago, when I was much younger, I was working on a survey crew with my father, and we were working on a road project. And our job, of course, was to run the grades and all of that so that the road was built properly. And one of the things that they were doing is they had hit a bunch of rock. And so they brought in this huge D8 cat. And on the back of this cat was what they called a ripper. It was a big attachment on the back of the cat. And there were two large metal teeth, if you will. They were probably 3 to 4 feet long, something like that. And the cat would pull into an area that they needed to remove the rock, and they would drop that ripper and they would begin to rip through the rock and then excavate it. But they hit an area of what they call blue shale, which is extremely hard. And that cat, as big and powerful as it was, dropped that ripper to the surface of that rock and began to pull. And as he pulled, the blue smoke just boiled, and there was hardly any rock removed from the surface of that rock formation. So that what they had ended up having to do is bring in a greater power, dynamite. And they would shoot the rock. They shot the rock. And then once the rock was shot, once that greater power was put into play, they were then able to do what they had intended to do all along. And really, when you look at that, that really is a great picture of our lives. In some sense, we have a certain amount of power in our own right. And there are some things that we can do on our own power, on our own strength. But when we enter the spiritual realm, that changes. We hit the blue shale, if you will. And all of a sudden, as powerful as we might think ourselves to be, as we move ahead, we realize that not much impact is taking place. And so Paul would tell us these things as he's getting prepared to talk about God's equipment for our lives. The power, the dynamite, if you will, the dynamite power that he's going to give us as we turn our lives over to him. In verse 10, the first part of that, it says to us, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." In other words, be empowered. Well, number one, our first need for understanding is that our beginning point is Jesus. Jesus would tell Nicodemus in John 3, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He cannot inherit, access the power that's available in the heavenly realms through Christ. We have to have a personal relationship with him. But so often what we find is that we want to run ahead, we want to race ahead, we want to access the ministry before we are ready. Once we come into connection with Jesus, there is a journey that begins. And I don't know if you remember back when you came to know Christ, if it was later on in life, or if you've observed Christians over the years, but new Christians have this amazing exuberance. Man, they are ready to hit the ground running. They're going to turn the world upside down. They're ready to go to the mission field. And I love that excitement. But the fact is, the reality is, they're not ready yet. They need to be equipped. They need to be empowered. And all of that flows from Jesus. What we need to do as believers in Christ, number one, is have that understanding personally, but we also need to pass that on to others. We need to let them know that Jesus is real and that he has a plan for their life and that he will give them the power that they need to do those things which he has called them to do. And I know that many of you have amazing testimonies about how the Lord has moved in your life, but that personal relationship with Jesus is so needed for us to experience the strength that we have in him, because our strength is in the Lord. Our strength is there, nowhere else. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you will ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. You see, that's the key. That empowerment comes as we ask, as we seek, as we knock. Peter would say, rather, Paul would say in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, at the end of that chapter, talking about the spiritual gifts, he would say what? Earnestly desire the greater gifts. There is a passion that should be involved in our pursuit of Jesus. It's more than just an exercise. It is a relationship, and it should be a passionate relationship. Abide means to rest in or live in. The idea is being surrounded by him, actually wrapped up in him. That's exactly what he wants for you. That is what he wants for me. We sing that song, I want to put on Jesus Christ. I want to be clothed in his righteousness. You see, that's the key. That's the key to victory, as we sang today. I'm going to see a victory, but it begins with being enveloped by Jesus, because he's living his life in us and then through us. But unfortunately, our tendency is to depend on our own strength, our own strength. We talk about being led by the Spirit. We talk about moving in the power of the Spirit. But so often what happens is when the event happens, when the attack comes, when the need arises, we begin to think, well, how can I deal with this? How can I address this? Rather than our first tendency to say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, move in this situation. Lord, give me the strength to do what you've called me to do. You see, we get that shot of spiritual adrenaline and we want to run. But it's not ready, shoot, aim. It's ready, aim, shoot. So we're ready because the Lord is within us, but we need to know what our focus is. Lord, help me to see what you're seeing here so that I know how to respond in that circumstance, in that situation. And so often we fail to do that. We need to see that every single thing that unfolds in our lives has a spiritual component. There is no separation between the spiritual and the material. They're joined together. We move in both realms simultaneously, even though we may not acknowledge it sometimes. So we need to be empowered. And that was Jesus' purpose, really, in Acts chapter 1. You remember when he was leaving, he told the disciples, he says, you need to go and wait. You need to wait because the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, and you're going to then be empowered to go out and do the work of the ministry to which I've called you. And we know, if we've read history, the Fox's Book of Martyrs and those kinds of things, that the disciples all were called to martyrdom, with the exception of John. And his journey wasn't all that much fun either, being boiled in a pot of oil and all those kinds of things. But Jesus knew all of that was coming, and he knew that they were going to need supernatural strength to endure it, as do you and do I. We all need that strength, that encouragement. In the second part of that verse, he says, and in the power of his might. In the power of his might. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Our power is found in the Spirit of God. More and more, I am impressed with the reality that although the Spirit points to the person of Jesus and God solely, that's his ministry, our focus needs to be upon an intimate relationship with the Spirit as well. That empowering experience that we need to have in order to walk with him. He is our source, the Holy Spirit. Jesus would tell the disciples, he will teach you all things. After I go away, it's good that I go away, because then the Holy Spirit's going to come. He's going to teach you all things. He's going to give you guidance and direction. He will be your strength. As I said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, you shall receive power from on high when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That's that dynamic experience. We're saved by grace. We're saved when the Holy Spirit comes within us. He indwells us. We're told that. It's at that point that we are baptized into the body of Christ. But there is another experience that we see in the book of Acts where the Holy Spirit came upon them, and we see power unleashed, unbelievable power, a transformative power in the life of the very one who denied Christ three times would stand up and preach and see 3,000 saved. What was the difference? The difference was the ministry of the Holy Spirit within his life. I know that all of us, as we think about witnessing, I would suspect, and if I'm wrong, you can tell me after the service, don't do it now. But every single one of us, as we think about, or when we thought about sharing Jesus for the first time, or even now as we've shared Jesus over the time, we find ourselves being intimidated. We find ourselves somewhat fearful about stepping into that supernatural realm to share Jesus. If you feel that, don't worry. You're not alone. The key, though, is to realize that he is our strength and he is our guide. He will give us the strength to share as he provides those opportunities, much like our sister who picked up a hitchhiker along the road by the grace of God and will speak Jesus into his life in some fashion. I love that. That's how God works. That's how God ministers to you and to me. Don't be afraid. Look for those opportunities to share as the Spirit gives you wisdom. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we read, but all these work the one and the same selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. That gets back to this assignment of the spiritual gifts. He's gifted you. He's gifted me to serve him well, not only within the body, but outside of the body, outside of these walls. We need to be outside of these walls impacting this world. God's given us the sanctuary, and it's amazing, an amazing gift. I love it. I love getting together here and spending time with all of you, because that's part of the journey. It's where we gain encouragement and strength and comfort and hope. But when we are fueled up, if you will, it becomes then the springboard to launch us into ministry outside of these walls. It's not just here. Is not bringing people into the sanctuary so that we can get them saved, although that does happen. It's to get those sheep motivated to go out there in the world to get them saved, if you will. Because then we can bring them in, disciple them in the faith. So amazing. This last week, we had opportunity to baptize a young man up in Glide. It was a very memorable baptism. We have a 300-gallon tub out in the back on a platform, which is used for summer services, and we filled it full of water, but it was very cold water. And when he hit that water, his eyes got big, and he went, "Whoa!" Big strapping lad, you know. I said, "Don't worry, I'm only going to talk for about 15, 20 minutes about baptism." I told him that before we got in, and I said, "No, I'm not. Just kidding." But the reality is that this young man came to know Christ at school in Eugene. But all of a sudden, the Lord is working in his life, and he wants the world to know that he's a believer. He wanted to be baptized. He wanted to begin that journey of public ministry, and I love that. And as the Lord is using you to share your faith, or perhaps to baptize someone, or perhaps to lay hands on someone and see them baptized in the Holy Spirit, whatever it happens to be, that's an exciting journey. And the Lord just keeps opening up those doors of opportunity. As he sees that you and I can be faithful, he will minister to us, because our promise is what? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do I feel inadequate most of the time? Yes, most of the time. But the Lord reminds me, great, because it's my might, not yours. That's exactly where he wants us to be. Lord, I can't do this. That's right, Mark, you can't, but I can. And so we see him move in power there. Paul knew the importance of God's power in the Spirit of Christ. Paul was one that suffered greatly in his journey, even though he was faithful and saw many, many people come to faith in Christ and many churches planted. He suffered not only from the Gentiles, but he suffered much from the church. They didn't trust him at the beginning, and even after they began to trust him, they didn't necessarily appreciate his style of ministry. And so Paul, in many ways, he would say, you know, I was alone. Everyone abandoned me except Jesus. He stood with me, and he reminded me that he would carry me through. And you may find yourself in that place of isolation. But know this, that Christ stands with you. And he would say the same thing to you that he said to Paul. I'll be with you and I'll carry you through. Only Jesus will see us through every problem. And that's the message to the people around us that have no hope. And there are many, many have no hope. I was reading about the tragedy in Israel and all of the people that were slaughtered on October 7th. And the people that were engaged to go in and recover the people that had been killed, that numerous of them have now committed suicide because they have no hope. The atrocities, the stuff that they saw, so impacted them that they couldn't get over that. It stole from them hope. And that's so sad. And we need to pray. Pray for the Jewish people. Pray for the Arab people. Pray for all of those that are so impacted by the wiles of the wicked one. In verse 11, we read, put on the whole armor of God. He says there, not only are we to be empowered and encouraged, we are to be equipped. Do I know, do you know, could you name today, if someone were to ask you, the pieces of the armor of God? Could we name those things? If the answer is no, then we need to dig in. Because it's here that we find our readiness. Our provision comes from the Father. And guess what? It comes in pieces. And all those pieces fit together to provide this amazing covering, are charged to actively put on the armor. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. It's a direct command. Put on the armor of God, and not just a piece of the armor, but the whole armor. Faith is important. The word of God is important. But the helmet of salvation is important, and the breastplate of righteousness is important. All of those things, every piece is important. Nothing can be left out. We literally need to put off the old and put on what God has provided. I find myself oftentimes, I don't know if you feel this pressure from the world, and even sometimes it seems to penetrate, infiltrate our thinking and our hearts. And sometimes I find myself just saying, breathing in, saying, Jesus in, breathing out, the world out. Jesus in and the world out. Jesus in and the world out. And there's this kind of refreshment that takes place in that moment. And I want to encourage you to practice the presence of Jesus. And when you find yourself in that place of being affected by the thinking of the world or the emotion of the world or whatever, to stop and just say, Jesus in and the world out. Jesus, fill me with your spirit right now, Lord, so that there's no room for darkness. I want, Lord, to be a vessel usable by you. But we have to put off the old and put on the new. We need to avoid the temptation to go back and pick up the old and play with it. I need to make the armor a priority in my life. Our armor pieces each have a specific purpose. And that's why Paul said, I want you to put on the whole armor of God, the whole armor. I'm pretty confident that when you get up every morning and get dressed, you put on every piece of clothing that you need to cover yourself. You don't go wandering around without pants or a shirt. Well, sometimes a shirt, but God wants us to be aware. I need to realize that I cannot pick and choose. It's not a smorgasbord, as wonderful as those things are. In our relationship with Jesus, it is, Lord, you set the table for me. I see all of these pieces here, and I choose to pick up every single one of them and put them on because I know that's where my victory is. That's where I'm going to see the victory. If you're falling down, if I'm falling down, or if I'm failing, it says something. It says that I am not armored up. I have not been prepared because there is not a single sin that will captivate me in the presence of Christ. And if it does, it says my flesh is ruling, not my spirit, and his spirit within me. We don't have to fall. People say, I fell into sin. No, you didn't. You walked into sin. You chose. You chose to turn on that program. You chose to look at that picture on the internet. You chose to enter into that relationship when God said no. Don't do it. We simply choose. The last part of verse 11. After he says, put on the whole armor of God, he says this, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. There it is. You and I need to be enabled to experience that victory. The victory is there. We had it reinforced throughout this day. We've had it reinforced in our lives as we get into the word. We need to be steadfast in him, that idea of being set. Years ago, thinking about being set, years ago, we went to Guatemala, and we were with Wycliffe. We went to work on a translation center. And it was just an amazing experience to be able to go up into the mountains and share worship with the people that were out in the mountains that you would never see unless you went out of the mountains. But it was just amazing. But one day we were coming down the mountain headed towards the city. And as like in Mexico, you know, there's always roadside stands. Well, there was this lady and her children there with a roadside stand. And she had these beautiful pieces of clothing. And one of these things was a jacket. It was absolutely beautiful. It had purple, rich, deep purple, and various colors in it, and beadwork, and all of that. And I thought, my wife would love that. And so I bought it. I got it home, and all of a sudden things begin to change. She put it on, and when she took it off, her shirt underneath it had changed color. It had taken on the hue of the jacket because the colors in the jacket weren't set at all. And so she was never able to wear it. I mean, it was a great thought, but it wasn't ready for use. And the same is true in your life and mine. We need to have the Spirit and his pieces and parts that he gives us set in our lives. Because our stand, guys, is taken in the Father, Son, and Spirit. All of them are at work in your life and mine. And there is a result. Have you ever noticed there's a result to every action you take? Good and bad? Absolutely. Absolutely true. I am so thankful that the Lord is gracious and cares for us. Because you see, we have an adversary. One that is a destroyer. Now check this out. Almost 60% of Christians, evangelicals, do not believe that the Satan is real. They believe that he is a power or a presence, but not a person. They also believe that the Holy Spirit, the same thing about the Holy Spirit, which is crazy, crazy. We need to realize that our adversary wants to see us fall. And he's working overtime to do that. Listen, when you enter into ministry, you need to realize, I need to get a grip of the truth that we now have a target on our back. He doesn't have to do anything with the person who sits in the pew and never does a thing. What he cares about is those who are out impacting the world for Jesus. And he's going to come after you. He's going to come after your family. He's going to come after your marriage. It's true. And we need to know and realize. It's like one of the guys from yesteryear said, you know, we don't live in a playground. We live in a battleground. And in today, right now, in this season is particularly true. Particularly true. You see that wickedness is unfolding around us, and we cry out with the martyrs under the altar in Revelation, how long, Lord? How long is this going to continue? Lord, intervene. Lord, send your son that he might draw us near, because this one we call the devil, he's an accuser, and he is before God accusing us daily, accusing us daily. He's called Satan, the adversary, because he's an adversary to us. He is a liar. He is a destroyer. He is a murderer. He is a roaring lion. He is the god of this world. And you can go on and on of all the things that he is, and none of it is good. Do we need to fear him? Absolutely not. Because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. But we do need to be aware that he's at work. We need to be praying over our families. We need to be praying for our brothers and sisters, our moms and our dads, our kids, our husbands and our wives. Every day we need to be pleading the blood of Jesus over them, that the Lord will preserve them and protect them as they move about their days, you see. Because Satan's schemes are to help us fall. His playbook is small, but it's very effective. You see it in the book of Genesis in the Garden of Eden. He's running the same three plays. You think we'd wise up. But so often it's not the case. We fall prey to it. Why? Because we succumb to the flesh. Listen, I'm not going to end on that note. Let's come back to our victory is sure. Our victory is sure. Hebrews 8, verse 1 says, now of the things which we have spoken this in the sum, we have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heavens. And he says in verse 25 of chapter 7, he ever lives to make intercession. That should warm your heart this morning. The reality that right now, Jesus Christ is praying for you and you and you and me. He's praying. He's standing in the gap. We're going to see the victory if we're willing to walk with him. Because his word tells us, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We're going to see the victory. We're already there. We started that out in the book of Ephesians. It says we've already been placed in the heavenlies. But now we're on this journey, and it's a glorious and grand journey. It's kind of a fun journey, frankly. You never know what God's going to do. He has a sense of humor, right? He always puts us in these places, and we go, what? How did that happen? And yet he uses it for his glory. We can stand against the evil one and his schemes, but we must use what God has given us. The helmet of salvation, the blessed breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. Gird our loins with truth and strength, and our feet with the gospel of peace. He's given us a full set of armor. We need to put it on. He's proved it. We have to use what he's given us, and we need to walk in the power of the Spirit in an ever-increasing fashion. Back in chapter 5, he would say this in verse 17, "Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." That's the key. Not our might, but his. His might, not ours. We have access to all of that power. The God of the universe lives within us. We just need to plug in. Plug in. As we do that, we're going to see him do great and mighty things. We need to understand the importance of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Cry out to him today and in the days ahead. I had a sister tell me the other day, messaged me, doesn't live here, said, "You know, I prayed for a year. Solid Christian. I prayed for a year for the fullness of God's Spirit to come upon me for a year." And she said, it happened. Not only did it happen to me, but it happened to my daughter as well. And God is just using her in amazing ways. We just need to keep asking, seeking, and knocking. Our God will meet us, and he will give us exactly what we need, all things that pertain to life and godliness. And that includes the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Let's pray.